All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good. I'm tired.
Yes.
It's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
My birthday was this week.
Yeah, it was fun.
And yeah, it was. So now it's over, and I'm sleepy.
And then we're going on a mini vacay next
That's
weekend.
That's right. We are. So exciting. And then I'm going on another mini vacay the next weekend.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Making up for the last year of not being able to go anywhere.
Yes.
Vaccinated babies.
I know, and now we don't, you're not even supposed to, or we don't have to.
I'm still going to wear a mask because I don't want people to think I'm a Republican.
And I'm also scared.
I'm also nervous, and I feel naked without it.
I know. Also, someone should have given me a heads up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I have not really been doing that much on my appearance on the lower half of my face.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll still probably wear it, like, you know, in stores
and in like
and in
crowds,
but when
outside,
I'm like, yeah, when I'm like with my friends or visiting people or even in like larger groups, people who I generally know are vaccinated, I'm gonna be like, hey,
for sure. So we're kind of getting back to normalcy, but we're doing a little bit of continuing our nostalgia week.
Mm-hmm.
So on Patreon, we did Night at the Museum, so you can get that there. And we are doing the 1994 film, The Little Rascals.
Indeed.
Of course, based on the series from the 1920s to the 1940s.
Yes.
Which I grew up on.
So this is really interesting. This Wikipedia article is where we always get our movie synopses from. This is the first time I've ever seen this note on a Wikipedia article. Let me read it. It says, "This article's plot summary may be too long or excessively detailed. Please help improve it by removing unnecessary details and making it more concise."
That's hilarious. They were like, this person overdid it.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I've never seen that on a Wikipedia
article. It's before. a long.
Yeah. So I feel like we're going to not have to... I don't know.
I think this is probably written by someone who loves this movie.
Yeah. Which is fun.
It is fun. This movie, all the kids are just kids they got who looked like the kids
original
from
the
original kids, except for cameos by Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah.
And Raven Simone.
Yeah, there are like several people who are pretty famous. Donald Trump's in this movie. Reba McEntire is in this
Whoopi
movie.
Whoopi Goldberg.
There's a few people who you're like, did any of these people become famous?
I don't think
Not
so.
Not very many.
No.
Bug Hall.
He consistently has been working. I don't know if famous, but he's been making
working.
A living.
There are a few that kind of did some, like, child stuff. But
I think Blake MacIver Ewing, I think he's the really talented one who played Waldo.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he did, like...
He's like a talk show.
A talk show, like, reporter, like an entertainment reporter or something like that.
Yeah, so he was amazing, and he's gay, and...
He's, like, amazing in this movie. He was my favorite.
Yeah, because gay is a synonym for talented.
Look it up.
Okay, so let's go into the plot, which will take a while. Spanky McFarland is the president of the He-Man Woman Haters Club, with many school-aged boys from around the neighborhood as members. Alfalfa Switzer, Spanky's best friend, has been chosen to be the driver for the club's prize-winning go-kart, the Borer, in the upcoming Soapbox Derby go-kart race.
A really high-tech go-kart.
Yeah, really impressive. This kid's...
And when should we address the setting?
We should address it right now.
Right now, okay.
So, the movie has, like, the beginning, and they're, like, panning around the city.
Yeah.
And it's 1994 Los Angeles.
Which
and
is, makes sense.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then we see, then we like pan the camera, and we land on the clubhouse.
Which looks like a shack from the 1930s. And then all of these ragtag boys, dressed as if they are in fact Great Depression era children.
Run in. And it's really wacko.
It doesn't make any sense.
This is not the only time this comes up. Like, they go out into the world and everyone else
is dressed like it's 1994.
But they are dressed like it's 1930 and talk like it's 1930, but everyone else is in the 90s.
It's very strange and doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but every character, all the children, every child in this movie...
Behaves as if...
They're in the 1930s.
Yes.
It also is really weird, and we'll kind of talk about this, because, like, The Little Rascals, in general, was kind of a response to the Great Depression.
Yeah, and just about, you know, staying strong and being positive in the face of poverty, right?
Yeah, and how, like, these kids, you know, they don't know if they're poor or not.
They're
like,
continuing to be kids even through, like, this economical disaster,
mm-hmm.
right?
And they do not translate that at all into the movie.
No, that theme
not
lost.
Fair. Not fair.
Lost. There's like a couple of like,
yeah.
Like, oh, Waldo's rich. And it's like, well, you're not really.
But kind of Alfalfa is too.
Yeah, like Alfalfa's like upper middle class, at
and
least.
And at one point we see Spanky's home. And
it looks fine.
It's like, looks the same as Alfalfa's.
Yeah, very confusing. But they're like in a shack in the woods as if they're like.
Poor? Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's very weird. We continue.
So, they nominate Alfalfa, right? But Alfalfa is nowhere to be found. The boys go to find Alfalfa and discover him in the company of his sweetheart, Darla.
One of the best scenes in the movie.
This woman, the woman that plays Darla, actually tried to continue working.
Oh.
But maybe isn't so good.
That sucks.
With whom he is forbidden to be in love because she is a girl.
Because they're gay.
They're all gay. Which goes against the club rules.
They're gay. It's like Fight Club.
Yeah. They're like, he's like, listen, buddy, I wish, but we're gay.
But I'm sorry, but you know the rules, bud.
You know the rules. You gotta be gay to be in this club.
We're gay. We hate women.
That's a he-man, woman-haters club.
Yeah.
Alfalfa invites Darla on a picnic to prove his devotion to her. He agrees to have the picnic inside the clubhouse. Unbeknownst to Alfalfa, his fellow club members find out about his plans. At the picnic, Alfalfa and Darla think they are alone, but the other club members secretly pull several silly pranks to sabotage their romantic date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my ooh, it's a cat litter in the sandwiches.
They have cat litter in the sandwiches, and they, I can't remember what they do to the drinks. They put like gas in the drinks or something.
Yeah.
When they finally reveal themselves and demand to come inside the clubhouse, Alfalfa frantically tries to convince Darla to hide in the closet, which leads to her mistakenly believing that Alfalfa feels ashamed of her. I wouldn't really say that that's a mistake on Darla's part. I would say Darla's correct.
Yeah, I mean, he does seem to be ashamed of her.
In assuming that Alfalfa does not want people to find
out
about
her. Because he's a part of this gay club, and they're like, no, you can't be straight.
Exactly. This is, like, conservatives' worst nightmare.
Right, this movie? when it sent shockwaves through the gay community in 1994.
Exactly. In the frenzy, a candle flame gets out of control, ultimately causing the clubhouse to burn down.
It just burns down, and also they have firefighter uniforms.
This is one of my favorite parts of the movie, is he goes to blow out the candles. There's five of them. He blows out four, deliberately leaves one unblown out.
Yeah.
He goes...
just waits.
And then leaves. And, yeah, it's cute. They have a little firefighter.
It's a reference to an actual episode from, like, the 30s.
There's a lot of stuff in here that I'm like, that's probably just taken from the show. And
yeah,
thrown
yeah.
In
yeah, I think a lot of that.
I like that they, like, made this movie and they're like, we gotta reference this show from the 1930s because it's, what, 60 years later? Same fan base. Darla breaks up with Alfalfa and turns her attention towards Waldo, the wealthy new kid in town whose father is an oil tycoon.
Waldo is the best character in this entire film, and his dad is, unfortunately, Donald Trump, who, every time he delivers a line, it just takes on a very sinister tone.
Yeah, it's like, everything that has Donald Trump in it has just been ruined forever.
Yeah, because he's
the worst
man. Person ever, yeah.
Yes, so unfortunately that happened. Donald Trump did a slew of movies in like the 90s and
yeah,
early 2000s.
He just decided.
Just as himself, as like rich dude.
Yeah, rich dude. TM.
Yep. Because Alfalfa burned down the clubhouse.
He didn't really mean to, but.
Yeah, and also fraternized with a girl.
Ew.
He is assigned by Stymie to guard the go-kart until the day of the race and refrain from even thinking about Darla.
Stymie is the second best child actor in this
mm-hmm.
film.
Mm-hmm.
Both he and Waldo are very articulate and mm-hmm. Very precocious children, it seems to be.
Yeah, Waldo's certainly the best.
Oh, he's
probably because he's the only one that wasn't picked just entirely off of his looks.
Yeah, because he's not actually a character.
They just were like, oh, he's a child actor who's good.
He's good and he can sing and...
Yeah, he was so cute.
He has a lot of charm. He's really cute. He Listen, this kid walked so Andrew Rannells could run.
That's so true. I mean, they would have been probably almost the same age, but it's like, this could be Andrew Rannells.
I keep trying to call him Matthew because that's his character on Big Mouth. And so
I know.
Like, oh, it's Andrew.
He's like Matthew, though.
No, exactly.
Alfalfa makes several attempts to win back Darla, including sending her a fake love note. When that fails, Spanky goes with him to formally break things off with Darla. They are initially denied entrance to her ballet recital, but Spanky insists that they will wait for Darla to come out. Spanky gives Alfalfa a frog to play with while they wait.
As you do.
They are soon spotted by the neighborhood bullies, Butch and Woim.
Woim! His name is Woim! Which, I think those are the actual names of the bullies in the original series.
Who chase them inside the building. To escape, Spanky and Alfalfa duck into a costume room and disguise themselves as ballerinas in pink tights, tutus, and wigs. They manage to evade the bullies, but they attempt to enter another room to get out of their disguises. They are surprised to find the room filled with girls, including Darla. The boys nervously pretend to be in the recital that is about to take place, but Alfalfa almost gives them away when the frog he is holding croaks. Darla admits that she doesn't miss him, but she does miss his voice.
Oh my god, and also he sings like, "You are so beautiful."
He's the worst singer.
To me. It's but hilarious.
He just like loves him.
Yeah.
Just as they are about to back out of the room, the ballet mistress enters and ushers them all
I
on
hate
stage.
Her. I hate this woman.
Yeah, she's the worst.
She's the worst person I've ever
she's
seen.
She's worse than the kid actors for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, she's... Like, she makes the kid actors look really good.
Which maybe was the goal.
She's horrible. She's a bad actress, and the character's not good, and it was just bad.
The recital begins as the children are performing scenes from The Nutcracker. Alfalfa hands the frog to Spanky, but Spanky drops the frog into the waistband of Alfalfa's tights. Yeah, Spanky's like, don't give that shit to me. Alfalfa squirms in discomfort as the frog wriggles around in his tights, turning the show into chaos as he tries to catch it while still dancing along. The girls break out into laughter along with the audience. The recital ends and the boys run off stage. This is yeah, at first they're like offended and then they're like This is really detailed.
Yeah, this is really detailed.
Frog wriggles around and I was like that's where I was like this is detailed.
This is very detailed. I can see why Wikipedia was like
some of this doesn't need to be in here. The ballet mistress, furious that the boys ruined her recital, confronts them and throws them out immediately. Alfalfa in his underwear.
So tired.
I know. And Spanky, still in drag.
Yeah.
Butch and Woim are waiting for them outside the door, so Spanky distracts them while Alfalfa sneaks out. But when Spanky loses his wig, the bullies give chase.
I'm gay?!
No!
But I'm not part of the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
And yet, Spanky manages to lose them, but they bump into Alfalfa, who is trying to run home in his underwear. Butch and Woim chase Alfalfa into a mansion, but they are, oh my god, I'm really trying here, into a mansion, but they are turned away by the maid. Escaping through the back door, Alfalfa is chased by Waldo's Doberman, and he leaps into a pool and swims to the other side. As he climbs out, he notices his underwear floating on the surface of the pool.
This is so weirdly
makes no
detailed.
Sense. Ah! As Alfalfa retrieves his underwear, he discovers Darla and Waldo in a hot tub, laughing at him to his embarrassment.
Drinking mocktails.
I just have to say, Darla is so stupid.
Oh my god.
Dumb. Waldo is the clear winner.
Yes. Yes.
The clear winner here.
Why are you even messing with Alfalfa?
Cute. Talented. Smart.
Rich.
I'm sorry. Alfalfa?
Yeah, he might be gay, but Alfalfa's like the vice president of an actual gay gang.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, which one are you going to go
with? Which one are you going to go with?
Come on, buddy. He's got familial expectations, and it's the 90s.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
You guys can be best friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they are going to do the talent show together.
I don't think I've ever seen you yawn this much.
It's really bad. I don't know why. I slept a lot, but maybe I slept too much. At the carnival talent show the day before the race, the boys try to fundraise $450, the cost of lumber needed to rebuild their clubhouse. The youngest club members, Buckwheat and Porky, have unwittingly come up with $500. Not exactly in honest ways.
They're really cute kids.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to tell them how. All this detail, but you're not going to explain how they got the money. They set up an admission to the talent show, which is free, and they just take people's money.
Yeah, it's really rude. And then, like, the teacher comes over and is like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't worry, they include this part. The school teacher, Miss Crabtree, finds out about the scheme and confronts Spanky, but he convinces her to donate the money to be given as first prize in the go-kart derby.
Which, how?
I don't know.
That's really unethical.
This is so funny. She goes like, we can't give all these people their money back. And I was like, why? Just be like, hey, these kids took your
money.
As
they're going out.
As you're leaving, come take your $3. Goodbye. Click. That's it.
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
Anyway, they stole these people's money.
Yep. And now they're gonna, but now she stole their money that they stole.
Yes.
So it's fine. Alfalfa, trying to get Darla off his mind, finds the prank list and realizes that Spanky and the other boys sabotaged his picnic date with Darla. He drives the blur to the talent show to confront him, but when he sees Darla singing on stage with Waldo, he once again tries to win her back, this time through song.
L is for the way you look.
He sings the whole song and lets her sing,
take my heart, but please don't break it.
And then he just takes it back.
Which, I get it. He's way better.
It's very funny.
Yeah. Oh, he has great comedic timing.
Yeah.
He understood what was going on. And that's something I like about this movie is that you can obviously tell when the kids understood what they were doing.
And when they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of jokes. Like, there's a couple jokes with, so, who is it? It's two of the side kids. The little, really, really, Whoopi Goldberg's son.
Buckwheat and, Porky?
Yes, Buckwheat and Porky. So cute. They have their own little side mission.
They're very cute. They do some gags.
They have some gags, and you can always tell when, like, they get the gags, like, especially because they will be so perfect.
Yeah.
But then there's so many lines that they're like, I don't know why I'm doing that.
Yeah.
All the scenes where the boys are in the clubhouse doing stuff, you never know why they're doing
it. No, exactly. But, yeah, whenever they do, like, the duck stuff and the pickle stuff
What's the song that he sings?
I got a pickle, I got a pickle, I got a pickle, hey, 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 hey.
He's so cute.
He's precious. He made up that song.
I know. Good for him.
He's a cutie.
Waldo obviously just kills a talent show, but it's okay because Alfalfa thinks he's going to win. He thinks he's going to be so good. He's going to try and win a breakthrough song because Darla mentioned after she dumped him that she missed his voice, right? So, however, Waldo sabotages his attempts to serenade her by putting soap in his drinking water, causing him to burp out bubbles all throughout his song.
All his kids just trying to poison each other.
I like this. I think this is really funny because he drinks a little bit of the water and is like, this tastes weird. And then just drinks
the rest of it.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Okay.
As a result of Alfalfa's carelessness, the blur is eventually stolen by Butch and Woym.
Yeah, he just left it.
Yeah, he's a bad... He's kind of, honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if they kicked him out of the gay group.
Oh, yeah.
He's not gay. Following the tenets. Alfalfa and Spanky have a falling out, but at Stymie's urging, they reconcile and band together with the other boys to build Blur 2, the sequel. Alfalfa and Spanky decide to ride in the two-seat go-kart together.
Wow.
They hope to win the prize money, which is to be presented to the winners by AJ Ferguson, Spanky's favorite driver.
Mm-hmm.
Butch and Woym make several sneaky attempts to stop Alfalfa and Spanky from winning the race.
I don't know how sneaky they are.
They're pretty...
Overt.
Waldo and Darla are also in the race, but they are eventually annoyed with each other, up to the point where Darla discovers Waldo sabotaged at the talent show, and Waldo seemingly kicks Darla out from his car. In a wild dash to the finish, Butch and Woym attempt to ram the Blur 2 off the road until a masked Waldo saves them. Despite the many scrapes and crashes throughout the race, the Blur 2 finishes ahead of the pack with a photo finish between the Blur and the Blur 2, literally by a hair, due to Alfalfa's pointy hairstyle.
Who wrote this?
I don't know. It's also not his hairstyle. He has a cowlick.
He has a cowlick, yeah.
After the race, Butch and Woym, angry about losing, they attempt to beat up Alfalfa, but he finally stands up for himself and punches Butch in the face, knocking him into a pool of pig slop. I just think it's mud, but
I think it's just mud, yeah.
Woym, scared, jumps into the slop willingly. Along with first prize, Alfalfa also wins back Darla after it is revealed that it was Darla who had kicked Waldo out of the car and finished the race alone, pretending to be him.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, that's a new thing about Darla, but we're not going to explore that. Spanky is shocked at the trophy presentation when he finally meets AJ Ferguson, who turns out to be a woman.
Who's also Reba McEntire.
And it's Reba. Spanky confesses to Darla that he and the boys were responsible for ruining their picnic lunch, and Darla forgives him for this. After the clubhouse is rebuilt, the boys collectively have a change of heart towards membership, and they decide to welcome Darla and her friends, as well as other girls, into the club.
We're straight guys now.
And they all get girlfriends.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's that.
And that's the end. And also Whoopi Goldberg's there.
And Whoopi Goldberg's
and
there.
And Donald Trump is there.
At the race. At the race. Cheering on their kids.
Yep. But yeah.
Yeah, this movie, the acting is not good.
No.
For the most part. It's cute, though. And the more you watch it, the more you're like, this is all right.
Yeah.
Like, Darla's probably the worst. She's adorable. But
in the bloopers, she cannot stop looking at the camera. And you can tell
that she's dying to look at the camera in the shots. Because she every once in a while, her eyes will just flick over to the camera and then go back. And, I mean, that's the...
That's just the reality of working with...
Four-year-olds.
Yeah.
I mean, how old... They literally...
Had to be, like, four to six.
Yeah. They are young.
Except for Waldo, who I think is, like, 8 or 9.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it just shows in, like, how much better he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even in just those couple of years, yeah. He's so much better. I have no clue what the budget for this is. It did not make a ton of money.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
Only $67.3 million. Despite having so many people in it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that they had that star power, but they didn't really.
Well, it got very bad reviews. The Rotten Tomatoes, this only has an approval rating of 23%.
Ooh, yikes.
Metacritic, it only has a 45 out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
But CinemaScore gave it an A-.
Oh, gotcha. Interesting. I have some trivia. Let me pull it up.
A lot of people basically just criticized this because they were like, it doesn't... It's not, like, this person, this is from Variety Magazine, said, those who grow up watching The Little Rascals may be well intrigued by the idea of introducing their kids to this full-color, big-screen version. Still, the challenge of stretching those mildly diverting shorts to feature length remains formidable, and one has to wonder whether an audience exists beyond nostalgic parents and their young children.
Ah.
Interesting. So there you go.
I guess during filming for the ballet scene, Bug Hall and Travis Tedford wanted to learn the choreography, but instead were instructed to goof off.
They were like, dang it.
Before filming each day, Penelope Spheris, the director, would hug each child actor to ensure closeness and trust in the group. Weird. Don't like that. Some of the surviving cast members of the original Little Rascals series were upset that they were not asked to participate in the film.
Oh, I would be upset too.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you.
Director Penelope.
Penelope
Spheris admits the biggest challenge of filming was working with the younger kids as they often had problems saying their lines properly. Waldo says atomic batteries to power, turbines to speed during the go-kart race. This is what Burt Ward as Robin says when the dynamic duo leaves the Batcave in the 60s Batman television series.
Okay.
Weird. During the 20th anniversary photo shoot, Ross Bagley revealed he improvised the famous "We Got a Dollar" / "We Got a Pickle" number.
Very cute.
Very cute. Very cute. In this film, Spanky has a Southern accent, whereas in the original Our Gang shorts, he spoke more like a New Yorker. Mm. Let's see. The behind the scenes, Spanky, Alfalfa, and Waldo were all really good friends.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Travis Tedford, Jordan Warhol, and Cortland Mead would later provide voice work in A Bug's Life.
Hey, there you go. They worked.
I guess Darla and Spanky were dating, in quotes. I mean, I don't know how you really date whenever you're
six.
Six.
They were dating. It's like, I can imagine them on the red carpet.
Yeah, right. They were dating.
They're holding hands. The paparazzi's like... it's the 90s. No boundaries on child actors.
That's so true. No one has any boundaries of anything.
I gave them hugs every day. What?
What?
I don't want that. Okay.
Weird.
Oh, this is sad too. You know how they said like the surviving cast members were sad?
Yeah.
Because they didn't get in. A pet, especially because she had previously made a point of including Buddy Ebsen from the original Beverly Hillbillies in her 1993 feature film adaptation of that series. This is 1 year later.
That's so dumb. Ew. This lady is making me feel weird.
Oh, this is sad. Eugene Jackson, who played the original Pineapple from the silent Our Gang comedies, tried to unsuccessfully contact the studio to be a part of the production and stated, "It's real cold. They have no respect for old-timers. At least they could have recognized some of the living legends surviving from the first films." Aw.
Aw. It's really sad. Bug, who played Alfalfa, was found behind a dumpster huffing computer cleaner.
Yeah, we saw that Alfalfa got arrested, and we were like, what? And we were, like, worried.
Yeah, we were like, oh, God, how is this going to affect but how we watch this? Sad.
It was just sad.
More, not upsetting, just sad.
Just sad. Some, yeah, most of these people didn't really grow up and work.
Yeah.
Which is not really shocking.
No.
They weren't, none of them really had that much.
Yeah, exactly.
Talent. Alfalfa definitely the most promise.
Yeah, for sure.
Although Waldo, he didn't really end up doing anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like Mel Brooks is in this. Raven Simone, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen are both in it. I'm trying to see. There's other people too. Lots of people.
Yeah.
We already covered the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Who the heck is the person that plays the guy that gives him the wood?
Oh.
They're trying to buy the wood from.
I don't even remember.
I can't remember. He's famous too.
Yeah. Mel Brooks is the bank teller.
Yes. Oh, it's George Wendt.
Yes.
That's who it is.
Cheers.
Cheers. And I'm pretty sure he's in Wizards of Waverly Place.
Oh, you're right. He is. I grew up on, like, the 1930s Little Rascals. I had it on VHS.
I really didn't, to be honest. Like, yeah. I know I had seen this movie, like, before, a long time ago when I was a kid. I always, for some reason, there are, like, several scenes in my head that I always thought were from, like, a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie, they were from this movie.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But it's a cute little movie.
It's a cute little movie. What'd you give it?
It's not good.
It's not good.
But it's fun, but it's cute. I don't want to watch it again.
No.
But it was not a bad watch. Maybe like a 6.5?
Yeah, 6. I'd go with 6.
It's like, it's not bad. It's just, I mean, they're not good.
No.
And the story's not great.
No.
It's just like, if you already like The Little Rascals, this will be an enjoyable watch.
Yes.
If you don't know anything about The Little Rascals, you're going to be like, what the hell is this movie?
What is happening?
Yeah, it's like, this is not a movie to introduce people to Little Rascals.
Yeah,
this
for
is
sure.
a movie for people who know what Little Rascals is.
Agreed.
Ugh. I also just am like, I feel like they really abandoned like a lot of the themes of Little Rascals.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is like one of the more interesting parts of The Little Rascals and why it's kind of appealing to adults.
Yeah.
Because really, like, why else would I want to watch, like, 6-year-olds run around? I saw a video, actually, comparing The Little Rascals to The Florida Project, which we've also covered.
Yes.
I think on here. I can't remember if it was on here or on our Patreon.
I don't remember.
But The Florida Project, if you guys haven't seen it, or I'll just give you, like, the quickest of quick recaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, like, families who live very near the poverty line mm-hmm. and live in, like, motels
yeah.
in Orlando. But it's from the perspective of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, like, some of the best child acting I've ever seen.
Oh, it's excellent.
Especially from, like, young kids.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, and all the kids are. Like, it's so accurate to actually how children
kids act.
And it's very good. But it's very interesting because it's kind of that similar thing where it's, like, all, it's a very, like, they have a very fucked up, sad life.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult. But it's not, like, so heavy because all of the, like, fucked up shit you kind of see happens in the background.
In the background. And they're just being kids throughout.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's the exact same, like, type of thing where it's, like, even in the midst of all this, like, the world is so sad and fucked up and mm-hmm. we're poor and whatever else, this is, to kids, it doesn't really matter. They don't really know the difference.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, kind of sad because it's, like, in The Florida Project, I mean, the whole plot is kind of, because there's two main characters. There's, like, the little girl, her name's Mooney, and her mom's name is Haley, and they're the two main characters.
And there's also Willem Dafoe, who was, like,
yeah, the hotel manager. But, I mean, the whole thing is kind of, like, in that movie is kind of, you know, kids grow up to be like this because of the situations that they're in, but like ultimately they can't control the situations that they're in.
Exactly.
But then they grow up to be adults like this that then put their kids in situations like this.
I mean, yeah, whenever your plant's dying, you don't fix the plant, you fix the environment that it's growing in.
Exactly. It's like how the cycle of poverty like works and how the cycle of like, and I think like Little Rascals has a similar kind of vibe, but no, we watched before we started recording this an original Little Rascals.
Yeah, it's the one of the ones that I watched when I was a kid. It's like the International Silver String Submarine Band episode.
Yes, and even that is like, even though it's cute, and it's like, yeah, little kids, the whole plot, it's literally like a 1 minute sketch.
Yeah,
they play all these little makeshift instruments on the radio, and everyone thinks they're going to be terrible, but they're kind of good.
But they're kind of, it's cute, and it's like not as bad as you would think it would be.
It's not, yeah, it's not good, but it's better than it should be.
Exactly.
For them being like six.
And also it being like, they're hitting cans.
Yeah.
And stuff. Like, it's not, like, they're not playing real instruments.
They're taking a kazoo and shoving a funnel in and making like a trumpet.
Yeah.
And these kinds of like,
but it also shows, like, the ingenuity that
it shows that it's, like, oh, very cute. But you're also, like, it's so, like, why is this radio program having to hire six-year-olds who aren't very good at music, and the adults are still, like, very excited because they get to actually have some art, because at this time, it's, like, artists aren't working.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford to pay them.
Exactly.
And you can afford to not pay some six-year-olds.
Some six-year-olds, yeah. So it's, like, whenever you give that context, I think it makes Little Rascals a lot more interesting than this movie makes it out to be.
Yeah, and in this movie, it's really just, like, kids having fun.
Yeah, there's no backdrop of, like, hardship.
Yeah, there's no kids having fun in spite of.
Yeah, which is, like, what makes Little Rascals interesting and entertaining for adults.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, makes it, in my opinion, like, a lot more heartwarming and a lot more, like, true
to definitely
childhood. Because, like, really, like, when you're a kid, you don't know if you're poor or rich.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I feel like, personally, I can very much, like, and my family's not, like, poverty line in any way. Even as I've, like, grown up, my family has, I think, like, vastly accrued more wealth than we had when I was, like, a child. Because when I was a little kid, my dad was, like, a first-year teacher, barely, and my mom was, like a basically worked like a part-time job at like a Hastings, if you guys remember Hastings.
I remember Hastings.
And then eventually she became a manager, and like that was like two kids on that, in basically in the same place where we live now. So they like, you know, buying a house, like young family. And I went to a private school because my dad taught at a private school.
Yeah.
And I didn't really even ever realize like that I didn't have a lot of money ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can very vividly, like, recall the first time I ever went somewhere and I was like, I am poor.
Yeah, I remember going over to someone.
Or, like, there are people that have so much more wealth than me.
I remember going over to someone's house and I was trying to turn on the light in the kitchen and it was, like, the garbage disposal. And I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
I didn't know what, I was like,
the garbage disposal was.
I was like, what is that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there's people that, like, you know, everything's relative. Like, I probably have friends, like, when I went to Diamond, who came over to my house and were like, oh my god, you're rich.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and, like, to me, I, like, went over to other people's houses and I was like, oh my god, you're rich.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, I very vividly remember the first time I ever, like, felt poor. And it's very, like,
jarring.
It is, and you don't really, and I was pretty old, like.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I remember going when I was a little kid to, like, people's houses and, like, recognizing that their houses were bigger than mine.
Yeah.
But that didn't really matter. Like, that didn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
I didn't feel, like, embarrassed about it. I was just like, oh, their house is big.
But because you didn't really know what that
meant.
Yeah.
And then I remember, I think I was maybe in, like, the seventh grade. So this is pretty old, okay?
Yeah.
I went to a pretty poor, I lived to, like, I went to school in a pretty poor community and didn't have that many friends. So I went to, I think I, like, some girl from my private school that I went to invited me out of, like, the middle of nowhere, because I moved away from there when I was in the first grade.
Yeah.
So this is seventh grade. It's, like, 6 years later. 5 years later. And she invites me to go to Kansas City with her and go to a Taylor Swift concert. And I was like, well, hell yeah, brother. Of course.
Yeah, if someone asks you to go to the Taylor Swift concert.
Exactly.
You're going to the Taylor Swift.
You're going to the Taylor Swift concert. Yeah. I'm in the seventh grade.
Yeah, so duh. This is the Doy.
This is the Fearless album tour.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen her in so many years. I don't know why she called me. I still don't know why she called me to this day. But we spend the whole weekend in Kansas City. And I remember, like, I was just like, oh, we're going to go to Kansas City. And I packed my own bag. I was in the seventh grade. I didn't need mm-hmm. my parents' help. I don't think my parents necessarily knew what this trip was going to be either.
Yeah.
But, because what my parents would do on a weekend in Kansas City is not the same as what these people did on a weekend in Kansas City. I just remember we get to the hotel. This is the very first moment I ever was, like, embarrassed for not having money. We walk into this hotel. It's, like, a five-star hotel. And everyone is, like, in the nicest, like, suits and, like, cute, nice clothes. And they all have, like, designer brand luggage. And I was literally carrying a dollar store duffel bag that I won in a church raffle.
Oh, no.
Like, not because, like, I couldn't. Not because my parents couldn't give me a suitcase, but, like, why would I?
Yeah.
And then I was also going through my, like, emo phase.
Yeah.
Like, hard. This was, like,
this hitting, seventh grade. This is, like, this is in
hitting,
the midst of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, this is the midst of, like, me hitting, like, the hardest of my emo phase
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And my mom was, like, not very interested in my emo phase, so she always refused to, like, buy me stuff from Hot Topic because it's really expensive, and she was like, this is not gonna last.
Yeah.
So I would always have to buy my stuff from, like, Goodwill, but I didn't necessarily always, like, pick out the best stuff from Goodwill because my mom was like, I don't care. I don't think any of it looks good. And I was, oh, my God. it was tragic. And then we got to the hotel room, and we had two separate hotel rooms. There was, like, me and my friend stayed in a hotel room, and then mm-hmm. her mom and her boyfriend stayed in a hotel room. And she was like, all right, guys, you know, get dressed. We're going to, like, a restaurant. So, you know, kind of dress up. And I was like,
dress up?
I had no clothes. I ended up borrowing some of my friend's clothes, like, to mix with my clothes. It was really bad. It was really bad. And then the next day we went to this store. I can't remember what this lady's, she's pretty famous designer. She kind of makes those, like, quirky bags.
Vera Bradley?
No, it's not Vera Bradley. They did sell them at Macy's, though. She makes, like, crazy, maybe it's not Betsy Ross. She made the American flag. Figured out. She makes, like, crazy looking stuff. Betsy Johnson, I think it is.
Betsy Johnson.
You've definitely seen her stuff. It's, like, very iconic. She makes, like, wacky stuff. This is her. You can probably think about the kind of stuff that she makes. She makes, like, really famous for making purses and dresses. But, like, these are the kind of dresses
she
makes.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These, like, really, like, cupcake tier.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Her purses are, like, really graphic and pop art-y almost. Let's see if they'll come up.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
They're kitschy.
Yeah.
So we went to this store, which, like, I just want to say as an adult, this shit should not cost as much as it costs.
Yeah.
This is, like, so fucking kitschy. You could totally just get this off Wish.
Yes.
And it would be, like, the same. But we went to this store, and everything was just, like, hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my God. I didn't even want to try anything on because I was so scared.
Yeah.
And I was in the dressing room trying something on, and there was a girl next to me who was also going to the Taylor Swift concert, because her and her mom were talking about it, and she was trying to pick out a dress to wear to the Taylor Swift concert.
OMG.
And she couldn't decide between two, and her mom was like, oh, just get them both. And they were probably, like, each $400 to $500. I thought I was going to die. And then I never wanted to go on a trip with those people ever again.
I would have passed away.
I literally almost did pass away. I felt so uncomfortable. And then I, at the end, I found this out, like, years later. The lady was, when she dropped me back with my dad, and my dad took me home, she was like, oh, you know, thanks for letting her come. Like, we had a great time. And she was like, it's good for, insert daughter's name, to, you know, get a little more down to earth sometimes.
Oh, my God.
They literally invited me because I was
poor.
I mean, and I'm not even poor. Just
yeah, but
poorer,
like,
than them.
You would, like, bring their daughter down.
Yeah, basically make her grateful.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
What she has. I found that out, like, years later.
That's crazy.
I know. Rich people are insane.
Rich people are crazy. Oh, my God. Ooh.
I know.
Rich people mind games.
I know. I was like, I mean, thanks for the vacation.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Taylor Swift, so.
She tried to invite me to Mexico, too. Like, they tried to take me to Mexico, and my dad was like, you're not going to Mexico. Which is sad, because I've never been to Mexico now.
Yeah.
So I do have a review. There's not very many reviews for this film.
No, 70.
70, for the whole film.
Very strange.
Like, even, like, newer films have, like, 100.
Yeah, this is like a 30-year-old film.
Yeah. So, this is a 2 out of 10.
Okay.
And it is called Pocket Ninjas Was Far Better. I've never seen Pocket Ninjas.
I don't know what that is.
I don't even know what it is. Let's look it up. Pocket Ninja. It's 1997.
Action.
It's an adventure. Oh, it looks like shit.
Oh, wow. That looks horrible.
Oh, it's a Cobra Khan movie.
Oh.
Like a really... Look at this. Oh, okay. This looks like trash.
Ew.
Yeah, it's like really garbage. Okay. Yes, it was. Seriously, I'm not joking. I would rather tattoo Pocket Ninjas for Life across my chest with Brad Bufanda's face beneath it. Luckily, throughout the movie, I was considerably stoned, and if I hadn't been, I probably would have gone downtown with a knife looking for something to kill.
Jesus.
This movie made me the most angry I had ever been, which is surprising because I never get angry. Anyway, no, I'm like, I doubt.
Okay.
I doubt.
Says the guy with a hole in the wall.
Yeah, I never get angry. The movie starts out with a gang of homosexual children who fear women more than having acid thrown in their face, who are members of a club located in some decrepit shed. The proprietor, a 7-year-old child, not in the least concerned about the state of the shed, nor what could be lurking inside.
They know what's inside. Yeah. They
stay there every
day.
They
furbished it.
Yeah. I think he means, like, rodents.
Oh.
This is just one mistake that the producers make out of hundreds. Most of them can be called common sense and logic deficiency error. There are so many factual errors, continuity errors, audio errors, and any type of error within this movie that there are at least 3 happening at any given moment from start to finish. For start, what kind of parent will let their 7-year-old child roam free wherever they are? Detroit? Question mark? It's clearly LA.
It's clearly LA.
Second of all, I do think that this is another one of the things that just doesn't hold up when you take it out of the 1930s.
But it made sense for kids to be running around with no supervision in the 1930s.
Because who gave a shit?
No one. Kids didn't have rights.
But now it's like, this is the 90s. Yeah. Why are your kids just like the middle of a shed?
Listen, they could have just made it the 70s. That would have made sense.
Yeah, you could have done a lot.
But this is like, this is like post kids have rights.
This is also child... Stranger Danger peak era.
This would not have happened.
We're the most terrified of Stranger Danger at this moment in time.
Yes.
And, yeah. And get pursued by a pair of crackhead 12-year-old mullet heads, congregate within a shed that's falling to pieces, and follow a child called Alfalfa, trying to get him to leave a joke of a relationship he has with, holds breath, a girl. I lost track of the movie from around that time. That's like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Had I been alone, I would have started screaming at the television.
Oh.
Had I taken
He never gets angry, though.
No. He never gets angry. Anyway. Had I taken acid, I would have died.
Wow.
Actually, if you had given me anything, sedative, benzos, something would have been stabbed or broken.
What the hell?
But weed chilled him out just enough, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Sedatives would not have chilled him out enough, but weed... Had someone injected a pound of crystallized Valium directly into my brain, I still would have gone into some hysterical stabbing frenzy, maybe.
Who is this?
I don't know, but they seem like they probably want to do a lot of drugs. Like,
maybe murder someone.
They talk about a lot of drugs in this. And he's like, thank God I was stoned, because that's basically the only thing that stopped me from going on a murderous frenzy filled with Valium.
Thank God for marijuana, right?
Yeah, marijuana, because any other,
even a sedative, been too much.
I would have fucking murdered someone, because The Little Rascals is kind of a bad movie. And I thought that 10 minutes in, I was ready to go on the murder spree.
Also, Pocket Ninjas, better.
Pocket Ninjas, better. Filmed on what looks like an Android camera, if it had been made in the 1990s. My cat is mad because I locked him in a room.
Yeah.
And luckily for him, Oh, I just found out that there's something called Elfette, which is looks like a elf, but with a woman. That's fun.
Interesting. This is not a good movie. I remember watching it as a kid, but, you know, as we've established, not all movies that you watch as a kid are good.
No. And that's just the way of the world.
That's just the way of the world. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing next week. Oh, Woman in the Window.
We're doing Woman in the Window. We might be late. We might not. We'll see what the schedule is, because we are going on vacation.
Yes.
So, if we have time,
we'll see you guys.
We'll do it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.